Pack Horse Called Rachel by Marcel Kellerman. Read by Barbara Kellerman. Chapter 1. The Raid. It has been more than 50 years now, but I can never forget the day. February 2nd, 1944. This is the University of Clermont-Ferrand, more precisely, its Faculty of Science. I kick the laboratory door and enter. Some students turn around. Sorry, boys and girls, but I overslept. Others are absorbed in their analysis, or pretend to be. They are studying medicine. Most of the staff and students have fled here from the University of Strasbourg, now hopelessly Nazified. Clermont-Ferrand, the capital of the Auvergne, well anchored at the foot of its volcanic mountains, escaped the onslaught of the occupation by its geographic situation, south of the demarcation line. Only until November 1942, that is. By December, the demarcation line disappeared, and France was totally invaded. In 1940, my parents and I had taken refuge in Clermont, thinking, hoping, the French government in Vichy would protect its Jewish citizens from the Hun. It did the reverse. I was given no choice but to take refuge again, this time in the laboratory of organic chemistry. The brave and handsome Professor Clément Valette appointed me as his assistant. That's why I say he is brave, and paid me a nominal fee from his own pocket, because he knew it was not safe for me as a Jew to appear on the university's register. Vichy had to ignore I existed. I should be afraid, but I'm not. I am 19, and female, and blonde, and still possessed with the arrogance of youth. By the end of this day, February the 2nd, I will be different forever. The students are my friends. We fool around a bit and exchange confidences between experiments to while away the time and give each other a little human warmth in the chilly, hungry world the grown-ups have created for us. Outside the window, snow falls. An acrid smell drifts over from the far end of the room. Everyone in the lab begins to cough and sneeze. "I hope no one's boiling ether," I call out. Francine turns around and in a mewing tone says, "I am, mademoiselle. Is it wrong?" I cry, "Everybody out! It'll explode! Out!" I yell at the top of my voice, "Out! Out!" herding them like a sheepdog. I shove those who have frozen in place. My colleague Hervé appears and seizes those who won't budge. He yells, "Get the hell out of here! Go now! Think later!" I fetch the fire extinguisher, which for some inane reason is kept down the corridor leading to the lecture theatre. Hervé grabs it, pulls off the cap, and directs a stream of foam onto Francie's steaming crucible. Soon the lab looks like the snowy landscape outside. The danger has passed. The tension breaks. Foam is all over the place. Suddenly it's funny. We double up with laughter. We can't stop. I notice Hervé's beautiful, even teeth. I've never seen him laugh before. At last, we regain control of ourselves. We've saved the students, staff of the science faculty, and perhaps even those of the arts faculty next door. In fact, the whole of the impressive modern building, Léon Blum's prize baby. Elected president in 1936... he was to give the provinces a chance to free themselves from the yoke of Parisian academic supremacy. He financed generously the creation of new universities and the modernization of the old ones. A major problem remained: to fill these establishments with staff and students. The exodus of students and staff from Strasbourg filled the void. They had flocked together to reach Clermont-Ferrand, arriving at the university's gates in 1942.